Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and for those that are joining us today, we welcome you to the Seed Christian Fellowship's broadcast. We pray our mission statement, it's a statement for all of us, that we all come to know God's love, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, and sow seeds of faith in your corner of the world. Last week, we started a little series on Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. I've entitled this series, Be Strong in the Lord. Way back in the fall of 2021, the Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart that it was going to be time to do a sermon series on the armor of God. At first, I resisted the very thought. As a preacher, you want to preach on fun and exciting topics, how to have a happy marriage, how to have a happy child, how to have a happy family. Well, even how to have a happy church. Would I be too much of a Dave Downer if I preached on the armor of God? I mean, who wants to preach on that? But the impression wouldn't leave my mind and heart, so last week I told you of a song that my wife made up about God's armor and how we sang that song to our children. Hearing and learning and studying about God's armor shouldn't be scary to us. It should be comforting. Well, just like today's soldiers are dressed to fight their enemy, the same is true for us. So let's go to our message number two on the armor of God. Do you know that as humans, we have struggled with fear since time immemorial? Several millennia ago, our ancestors worried about facing saber-toothed tigers. Today, there are many things worse than the saber-toothed tiger that causes us fear. We have wars and rumors of wars. We have pandemics and viruses that have shut down schools, businesses, and even churches in the world. We have inflation and recession fears. We watch the stock market rise and fall with fear. The truth is, we do have many things to be afraid of. Fear in our finances, our health, our relationships, schools, businesses, churches, families. Fear wants to immobilize and demoralize us, but God has given us a remedy. First, Jesus Christ, and second, the armor of God. If you were a first century Christian, there's one thing you definitely were afraid of. It was a man in an iron and leather armor with a bronze helmet on his head, a short sword in his waist, and a spear in his hand. This man was a Roman soldier. He could walk through hostile crowds of ordinary citizens in their robes of cloth, and the crowd would move aside in order to make room for him. Partly it was because of his armor, and partly it was his sharp weapons. But even more than that, it was the authority of who this man stood for, the authority of an all-powerful emperor in Rome. In other words, move it or lose it. To the believers, the Christians in Ephesus who were living life afraid of soldiers dressed in armor, the Apostle Paul writes a rather extraordinary message. You too can be equipped with armor, only this armor is not made of leather, steel, or bronze. It is armor of the Spirit, and it is God's holy armor. Before we read our passage from Ephesians, let us go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Lord God of all peace and power, we come today to be strengthened in your inner heart, in our inner heart and mind and spirit, so that we will know how to stand firm and how to face our fears with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to be strong, not in our power, but in your mighty power. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with boldness and show us how to live the life you've called us to. With you, God, we can do all things. We can survive and thrive despite the times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Listen for God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take a stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I may fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Wow, those are some great words. To be honest with you, I'm extremely excited, even humbled, to teach and preach on these powerful words from Paul to the church in Ephesus. And, well, they're words to us today. How do we learn to be strong? How do we learn to stand firm? How do we learn to put on the full armor of God? Last week, I mentioned that we are in a battle. We are in a battle for our children, our schools, families, businesses. We're in a battle for our souls. As Paul tells us, the battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I want you to take this to heart. No matter what struggle you are facing today, it may look like it is a person who is causing you the battle. But know this, it is bigger than that person in order to see this battle. You're going to need God's armor to stand. Let's just briefly look again at Ephesians 6:10. It is a powerful verse. Literally, the single verse, that one verse, has three different Greek words translated for the English word power. Dunamos, or he uses in dunamo, it means to be strong. It's the ancestor of our English word dynamic or dynamite. In essence, be dynamic, be a stick of dynamite. And then he uses a word ischus, which means mighty. And ischus is, well, it's a personal or physical might or power. And the last word he uses, kratos, which we translate power. It means a ruling power, a power to direct or control. We're told in verse 10 to be strong or be dynamic in the personal, physical power of the Lord who controls all things and directs all things. Well, that's take home point number one. Be strong in God's power. Samuel Morse, the inventor of the telegraph, harnessed the power of electricity for human communication. He did it without fully understanding its essential nature. The power humming down those singing copper wires seemed mysterious in its origins. It could just as well have been a divine force for all he knew. Maybe that's why when Morse wrote out the text of his first message, he translated over telegraph wires, he chose these words, "What hath God wrought?" So today I want us to be strong in the Lord in the strength of God's power, knowing that the greatest power in our life comes from God, not from us. I was raised in a family of four boys. We were rough and tumble. My oldest brother formed a junior Marines club in our neighborhood, and together we fought lots of battles. I've often wondered out loud why I didn't join the Marines, to which my wife laughs and says, "Honey, you did. You joined God's Marines, Semper Fi, always faithful." I love history, and I started college wanting to be a history teacher. I also love reading about the Civil War. Do you know that the very first battle of the Civil War was the Battle of Bull Run on July 21st, 1861? Raw Yankee recruits marched towards the Confederate Army camp of Bull Run, 30 miles southwest of Washington, D.C. The Union soldiers were overconfident and acted like they were headed towards a sporting event. Congressmen, ladies, and all sorts of spectators trailed along with lunch baskets to observe the fun. They were not prepared for the courage of the Confederates, who stood their ground like a stone wall, thus giving their leader, Thomas J. Jackson, his nickname, Stonewall Jackson. The arrival of the Confederate reinforcements threw the Union forces into a panic, even though the Union had the superior forces. One observer wrote, quote, "We called to them, tried to tell them there was no danger. We called them to stop and implored them to stand. We called them cowards, denounced them in the most offensive terms, but all in vain. A cruel, crazy, mad, hopeless panic possessed them all." Wow. Isn't it amazing how fear and panic have a way of overwhelming us, despite the truth that we have been promised by God that we have the spiritual resources to deal with each and every situation we face? No need to panic. God is with us, Emmanuel. In this book, Paul tells us the church in Ephesus to finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We are called to be strong, not in our strength, not in our wisdom, not in our power, not in our understanding, but be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. The Greek word that Paul uses for be strong is endunamo. It's a present active imperative. It's a command to continually, day after day, hour after hour, night after night, and minute after minute, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Are you in a battle right now? Remember this. You are being commanded to continually be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, not yours. A very long time ago, my wife and I were having a discussion about something she was afraid of. She looked right at me and she said, "I might be afraid, but God in me is not afraid at all." What a wonderful promise that God is able to accomplish all things, and all we have to do is rely on, rest upon, lean into, and upon his mighty power. We don't have to run in panic. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to allow our fear to immobilize us. Our enemy has many schemes and will use whatever it takes to scare us and to make us turn and run. We're better able to face our fearful situations and stop a mad, hopeless panic from possessing us if we prepare ourselves soberly for the challenges that life will hand us. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. We're talking about putting on the armor of God, and we don't have to run in fear. Here in this letter to the church in Ephesus is our battle plan, and it comes straight from God. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 20. He says, Paul writes to the church, and he says, put on the armor of God. We will learn in the weeks to come how to wear our armor. Today we need to know this. It's not about our personal power. Each day we're to put on God's mighty power, for it is God's power that will embolden us to be strong as we fight this war. Last week I shared that we were really in a war between good and evil. We're in a war for our soul. We're not fighting flesh and blood, no matter if it feels that way. It is worse than that. We're fighting between good and evil. If we were back in 60 AD, we would know that there was a real battle. We know Paul is in a battle. He's locked up in chains in prison. The church is the body of Christ, and the church will always be in a battle. Ever think that is why we meet weekly? We need to encourage one another. We meet to worship the living God, and we meet to hear the word of God, the battle plan, so that we can go and fight one more week. Are you with me? These words of the Apostle Paul are really instructions to us on how to survive the war that we need, well, the war we didn't even sign up for, but we need to stand in God's mighty power. The Battle of Antietam in 1862 lasted for 12 hours and ranks as the bloodiest day of the Civil War, with 10,000 Confederate casualties and even more on the Union side. "At last the sun went down and the battle ended," wrote one historian. "Smoke heavy in the air, the twilight quivering with the anguished cries of thousands of wounded men." Though militarily it was a draw, the mediocre Union General George McClellan was able to end the brilliant Robert E. Lee's thrust into Maryland, forcing him to retire across the Potomac. How was that possible? Well, two Union soldiers had found a copy of Lee's battle plans and had delivered them to McClellan before the engagement. Can you imagine that? The Union found a copy of the strategies of the Confederates. In some respects, we are no match for our adversary, Satan, whose wiles we are told to be wary of. But as with General McClellan, our enemy's plans have fallen straight into our hands, and here it is in Ephesians chapter 6. We know the enemy's usual strategies to entice us with lies, lust, greed, and the like, and with such knowledge given to us by God's Word and God's Spirit within us, we can resist the enemy's advances. Did you know that from the earliest pages of the Old Testament, the writings of the prophets, to the writings of the four Gospels, the epistles, and the book of Revelation, we are reminded of Satan's existence and warned of his activities against us? Can someone say battle plan? It's called the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. We can defeat our foe because the battle is right here. Read about it in your Bible. Jesus began his earthly ministry with a great battle with Satan, 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus knew Satan's plan, and every time he tempted Jesus, he responded, "It is written." Church, do you hear that? It is written. Jesus quoted the word of God to Satan. Jesus ended his ministry on earth with a battle with Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus knew that his enemy was real. Only he knew the enemy's battle plan, and he knew the power of his Father, creator of everything. Stand firm, be strong in the Lord. Well, maybe a good so what here. How about you and me? Do we know our enemy? Do we know that our enemy is real? Do you know that you can know his battle plan? Our enemy, the devil, is real. I know a lot of people don't want to talk about the devil, but our enemy, the devil, is real, but so is our God. Our God is omnipotent. That means all powerful. The devil is not. Our God is omnipresent. That means everywhere at once. The devil is not. Our God is omniscient, all-knowing. The devil is not. Church, we've got this. If we are meeting and if we are studying the Word, we know the battle plan, and we need not have fear. So what? So what? The Greek word for put on is enduo, E-N-D-U-O, translated for, you know, into English, enduo. It's an aorist imperative verb, which is a command to get dressed, put on, or clothed in the full, not partial, armor of God. It's not a suggestion, but a command to get up, get dressed, and take a stand. Do we see our soldiers running to battle with just their boots on? Or with just a helmet? No. Listen, they have government-issued battle gear, and so do we. Church, our God-issued battle gear is right here in Ephesians 6, and we're going to learn how to use it in the weeks to come. Did you know that there are at least two ways of handling pressure? One is illustrated by a bathysphere, the miniature submarine used to explore the ocean in places so deep the water pressure would crush conventional submarines like an aluminum can. Bathyspheres compensate with plate steel several inches thick, which keeps the water out, but also makes them heavy and hard to maneuver. Inside, they are cramped. When these crafts descend to the ocean floor, however, they find they are not alone. When their lights are turned on and you look through the tiny, thick plate glass windows, what do you see? Fish. These fish cope with extreme pressures in an entirely unique way. They do not build thick skins. They remain free. They compensate with the outside pressure through equal and opposite pressure inside of them. Listen, friends, we don't have to be hard and thick skinned so we run to our daily battleground As long as we have the appropriate God's power within us, we will be equal to the pressure without us. Paul tells us, here's your three-point message. He says, be strong. That's what verse 10 says. Be strong in the mighty power of God. Then he says, put on. Put on the full armor of God. Don't put on one piece. I imagine that everybody gets up in the morning and gets dressed, or at some point in time you get dressed and you go outside. Maybe you do or maybe you don't, but you still get dressed. But he says, put on the full armor of God. And point number three, stand firm. Be strong, put on, stand firm. Be strong, put on, stand firm. Be strong in the mighty power of God. Put on the full armor of God. And stand firm against the devil's schemes. How about you? Where do you stand? Martin Luther wrote a song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. I'd encourage you to go listen to it. And in there, there's a verse or a line that says, the right man is on our side, Christ Jesus, Lord Sabaoth is his name. Sabaoth in Hebrew means the king of the armies. God is a mighty fortress, and God wants us to run to him and be strong in him so that we can take a stand against our enemy, stand our ground in God's power and might, and then stand firm, not in our power, but in God's mighty power. Well, boy, can I get an amen on that? That's our so what for today. Whatever life is handling you, be strong. Put on, stand firm. Let me say it again. Be strong, put on, stand firm. Be strong in the Lord, not your strength. Put on the full armor of God and stand firm against the devil's schemes. We have been given a copy of our enemy's strategies against us, and we will learn all about them in the weeks to come. For now, do not relax, do not recline, do not fear, but stand, stand, stand. Our God is a mighty fortress who is, well, like one little word from Jesus will fell our enemy's souls. One of our ministers, his name is Fred, he taught about tough words, and he gave us a book that he says that we can use to look up passages, and we have that book. If you want it, let me know. It's like a concordance, but with a lot of references. Jesus had three words. It is written, period. It is written. And I would say, when you know God's word, you can say, it is written. Learn to quote some scriptures and know what your battle is. Paul writes these words, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Ephesians 6:10, that's the address. You know where to look for the power? In the Lord. We're going to practice that. We're going to speak to our fears. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in God's mighty power, not my power, not my strength. The power that carved out the Grand Canyon lives within me, lives within you, and I'm going to be strong in that power, and I'm going to stand firm and put on the full armor of God. Remember, don't go to the battle dressed for a day at the beach. Have a great week. Know God's love. Grow in the grace of Jesus Christ. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. And sow seeds of faith. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we come today and we give thanks for your word, which is a living word. And we ask, Lord God, that you would fill us more and more with your power, your Holy Spirit power. Let us stand in your word. Let us stand strong, not in our power, but in your power. And may we be lights out into this dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know, God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center. at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.